Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today in Morgantown, West Virginia, as it will be tomorrow as well. The road show continues, and it's great to have you on board with us today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. One more off day for Major League Baseball in the All-Star break, then back to work tomorrow. We're going to be talking about what your Fantastic Four would be for your team. Dick called yesterday. He had one major disagreement with the Orioles. He said instead of Frank Robinson, it should have been Eddie Murray. Yeah, that's fine. Everybody has their own pick, their own reason why. The Phillies, of course, had their four. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Pirates had their four. Yankees. The Mets, somehow they found four Marlins. It was great. So, I mean, the Marlins, the first guy, can, no offense, Jeff Conine. You're like, okay, really? So we'll get into that. Penn State football making its big news today in that there will be no names on the back of the jerseys. Joy throughout the land. And... you know, James Franklin made the statement about that earlier today. And, you know, James Franklin is a guy who is very much, you know, he's his own man, and he's somebody that has the ability to look at the landscape, understands it, and he decided that the best thing was that the front of the jersey meant more than the back of the jersey. And the players are fine with stuff like this. I mean, it's not, you don't see a player saying, oh my goodness, they took my name off the back of the jersey, now what am I going to do? They're going to go out and try and win a spot and play. That's the biggest thing. They want to play and they want to win games. And that's, you know, two major points for them. But he looked at it and he decided to do that. And I think there are a lot of people I think that like it, which is fine. One of the more comical things I've dealt with people talking to me about this in the last 3 years are people that come up to me and say, hey, when the names are on the back of the jerseys, it makes your job easier. Really? Really? Do you think I can see the names on the back of the jerseys? No. And they also handing out the posters today as well, and they'll be doing that.
By the way, I put the poster on our Facebook page, so go check out Steve Jones Show and on Facebook, and you'll be able to see the poster.
Maybe at some point it will. For what James Franklin said, for 100... what do I care what a schedule poster looks like?
It's not for your benefit.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. For 125 years, Penn State proudly followed a very simple idea. Black shoes, basic blues, no names, all game. In 2012, for the first time in the program's history, names adorned the back of the jersey to forever identify the men who stayed loyal, sacrificed, and chose to play for this institution during the most difficult of times. The 2012 season permanently is recognized in Beaver Stadium and will hold an endearing place in our program's history. Their commitment will never be forgotten. However, it is time we bring back the tradition that represented Penn State for 125 years. We're a strong family, playing for one goal, one university, and there's only one name that truly matters, Penn State, we are. Simple, to the point, and spot on. I have told you how many times on this show, as you have worked your way through fantasy football that the name on the back of the jersey is not as important as the name on the front. So, they will... and take the names off. And there are a lot of people who are very happy. I mean, it's interesting. It seems like a lot of people are happy about it, but there's also a mixed bag. There's one thing I will say, because they didn't wear the names on the back of their jerseys and for the homecoming game last year with Northwestern. And I don't think a lot of people really realized it. let's see. Listener question, do you like the idea or do you like the names?
That was not for you, by the way. That was the question I thought a listener could respond to. I know the answer to you. Oh. I don't care.
No, it doesn't really matter to me one way or the other. I think it's whatever makes everybody happy. If I know it happens to be, for example, something that has been traditional here that Joe did not want to do. Now, a lot of people have complained about other aspects of the uniform. One of them is they complain a lot about the Big Ten logo on the jersey. I need to explain something about that. There's a couple things. The Big Ten logo is required to be on Penn State's jersey, and it's required to be on that jersey in the spot it's in. It's just part of being the conference. If you look at every conference team, all of them have the Big Ten logo in the exact same spot in their uniform, just like which is on the, I'm trying to think, I think it's the upper right front. In basketball, they're in the back of the jersey, and every school has to have them in the same spot. So that is something that that people need to know about that. You can complain about it all you want, but it's a conference requirement, just like it's a conference requirement that the Big Ten logo appear on the field in the exact spot that Penn State has it. Every Big Ten stadium has the Big Ten logos, one on each side of the field in the exact same spot. That's a conference requirement as well. So, and, you know, so as fans, at 800-795-9565, do you like the return of the tradition of taking the names off the uniforms? 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. Do you like the tradition that James Franklin has gone back to of taking the names off the uniforms starting with the 2015 season? 800-795-9565. You may be somebody that was used to it and then eventually grew to like it. You may be somebody that never liked the fact that there were names on there. And you may be somebody that just is really happy that they're returning to tradition. I just would like to get your feedback at 800-795-9565 and get that from you. I think a lot of people have been baffled by my response both ways over the years to it. As you said, I'm like, oh, whatever, you know, whatever happened. To me, it's about winning games. That's the whole ball game. It's about winning games. It's about doing it the right way and winning games.
I'll say this, Steve, as someone who doesn't get a chance to see a lot of Penn State games anymore. It was really nice to see the names on the back of the uniforms to associate it with the number, because again, I only get a chance to see maybe a game or two a year. So I understand the tradition. I like the fact that there were no names on the jerseys because of the tradition. I got it. But it was really cool when you're only watching one or two games a year to be able to see those names and associate the names and the number.
In professional sports, the AFL, which, by the way, brought us a lot of things. The AFL brought professional football's two-point conversion. The AFL brought a wide-open passing game. The AFL is the one that actually brought revenue sharing and socialism to sports. That's how they were able to survive. The NFL was the Wild West for a long time until they borrowed the AFL's idea of revenue sharing on television. And the AFL also brought with it in 1960 the first professional league that had names on the back of the jerseys for every team, because they wanted to get everybody, wanted people to know exactly who they had playing for them, give them some sort of name identification. The NFL did not adopt names on the back of the jerseys until the NFL and AFL had merged and started playing as one league in 1970. That's when the NFL put names on the back of the jerseys. And when you look at the NBA, they've had it. And then they finally just did it for every single game. In baseball, the Giants still don't have names on the back of their jerseys. The Yankees don't have names on the back of their jerseys. The Red Sox do not have names when they play at Fenway Park, but they do have the names on the back of the jerseys when they're the road team. Dave in Sunbury joins us. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. And how's Kevin, my man?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking, though. Appreciate that.
Well, personally, I don't care about the names on the back. It's the name on the front that counts.
Well, so you're fine with that. They took the names off. You're fine with that.
If they take the names off, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, that's no problem. Everybody's going to have their own opinion about it. That's great.
But, you know, I said, hey, if they want to keep the names running, they let the names run. But just as, you know. Yeah. But I just, quick question is, that quarterback from Florida State, any idea where he's going?
No, I don't. He's in a tough spot right now. And I think that he has to, A, get his name cleared in some form, where he avoids additional issues. And if he then is allowed, if he is able to somehow do that, it probably is going to be an FBS school that he goes to.
But other than back up later, maybe.
Right. No, I don't know about that.
Just go down and stay down.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, Steve. You know, let me
appreciate
chime up a little bit, but, you know, I'll get off and listen.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. Are you happy with James Franklin's decision to take the names off the back of the jerseys? 800-795-9565. If you'd like to jump in and give us your opinion, we'd love to hear it. 800-795-9565 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Over the last 100 years, we've seen a lot of summers come and go. Some hot, some cold, some wet, some dry. We've even witnessed the summer of love. But never the summer of nothing until now. The summer of nothing at Sunbury Motors Kia. Zero due at signing. Zero security deposit. Zero first payment on all 2016 Serenos and 2015 Fortes, Optima Souls, and Cadenzas during our annual Sign It and Drive It sales event.
But that's not all.
We also have 0% APR financing for up to 66 months and up to $1,500 CAMF bonus cash on 2015 Fortes, Forte Coupes, Souls, Optimas, Cadenzas, and Sedonas. With 84 new Kias to choose from, all with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, you'll have nothing but a fatter wallet and good times ahead this summer. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip at Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com.
Tax and tax after leasing and low APR financing through KMF and well-qualified customers. See dealer for details.
Lines, couple of callers waiting. Joe and Pac Sinus is there. Hi, Joe. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
It's great to hear from you.
Well, it's great to be on. I'm just calling about traditions. I love tradition. And any time we lose a tradition, we lose a little piece of ourselves. And going back to what Paterno did is good for me.
Good. I completely understand that. Traditions are important. There's no question about that. Anything else, Joe?
That's all.
Well, thank you very much for chiming in. 800-795-9565. Bob in Sealands Grove is next. Hi, Bob. Thank you for waiting.
Actually, we're going to try and catch up with Bob once again. I don't think he was able to hold on through the break there.
So, in other words, you lost him.
No, that's not the case this time.
Okay, so in other words, you lost him.
No.
So what we'll do is we'll blame Bob.
Yes. Let's blame Bob. Bob was busy. Bob, he couldn't hold on. You know, I understand.
You lost him.
No, this time I did not lose him.
Oh, brother.
Bob, feel free to call back and save me.
800-795-9565. Here's your chance, Bob, to call back and to let us know if Kevin just plain lost you. 800-795-9565. So chime in. We'd like to hear from you. So far, it's been a universal feeling by everybody that they like the fact that the names are going to be off the jerseys for this year. As Kevin knows, there's certain, I think traditions are great. I think people enjoy the fact that every time they go to Beaver Stadium, that as an example, they see the Blue Band do the same routine that they have done since 1966, which includes a flip by the head majorette, which includes them, the floating lions, which includes how they line up for the entrance as they come onto the field. Like, people love that tradition, always have. They've loved the tradition of no names on the back of the jerseys. The fact that Penn State hasn't changed jerseys, hasn't gone to alternate jerseys, hasn't done any of that stuff. I think fans have liked that over the years. It's been interesting that when Penn State has ever put any, for example, white around the collar, what's that? They have white around the collar. They put white on the sleeve, a little bit of white band on the sleeve. Fans notice these things. And when they put the Nittany Lion in the middle, which is something that for the Nittany Lion logo in the middle of the jersey, right at the V and the V neck, people notice that right away. And they're like, they put something else on there. So I'm always amazed at what they notice along the way. Kevin knows that I'm very big on what wins you the game and what doesn't win you the game. I'm very big on that part of it. But if it makes you happy and you're in the stadium, you're happy about it, and you know you're enjoying it, great. That's fine by me.
There is a small
795. Yes, small one.
I was going to say there is a small number of teams that don't have names on their uniforms, and the only one,
USC's one,
right? I can only think of USC, Notre Dame, and Penn State, and I know USF just joined
the back now.
Well, USF just joined them a couple of years ago, but maybe they went back. I thought they had names on the back of their jerseys when they played Penn State.
I think UCF doesn't have names.
Okay.
Central Florida. And, of course, in the pros, it's only the San Francisco Giants, the New York Yankees, and the Red Sox when they play at home. I think everybody else has names on the back. Now, in this league, let's take the New York Penn League that I'm doing. There are only two teams in the New York Penn League that have names in the back of the jerseys. And now, in the minor leagues, you have so many interchangeable parts, that's difficult to do. But State College and Tri-City are the only two that have names in the back of the jerseys. And it's really interesting at State College. The fans like it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin is driving a 2016 this week for Sunbury Motors.
A 2016 Ford Explorer XLT model. The Explorer for 2016 comes in the base, XLT, Limited Sport, and Platinum. And today we'll talk a little bit about the Platinum Editions. It's a new model for the Ford Explorer. Has LED fog lamps as well as the LED headlights and taillights. Plus, it has the adaptive cruise control with brake support. That means when you set it, you can set the cruise in the distance you'd like to follow the car in front of you, and it will automatically adjust and brake as needed to keep that distance. Basically, you set the cruise, and you don't need to touch the brake until you have to stop. You'll also be able to grab the premium 500-watt sound with Sony and Clear Phase Live Acoustics sound system, so you can listen to this show in full 500-watt sound in your vehicle. Check out the 2016 Ford Explorer, again, in many different models, including the base, XLT, Limited, Sport, and Platinum at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And you'll find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. And if you'd like to see the XLT that we're featuring this week, go to my Facebook page or at Kevin Herr on Twitter.
Open Championship is now done for the day. What a day for Dustin Johnson, as Tom Rivers tells us from the old course at St. Andrews.
Smooth-driving Dustin Johnson put it all together on the famous course, collecting five birdies and an eagle. But weather cooperated, and that meant a lot of good scores out there. Just one shot behind him, a big pack of six, including Goosen, Laurie, and Zach Johnson. Two off the pace, the 21-year-old everyone's talking about, Jordan Spieth. As for Tiger, a disappointing start. He carded a 4-over 76. Tom Rivers, ABC Sports, London.
And it was a day where Tiger Woods shot 76, and he played the easiest part of the day. Those in the afternoon had to battle their guts out because the conditions dramatically changed. Phil Mickelson, for example, shot 70 today, 200 par. Believe it or not, if that had been the morning round, he probably would have been at 5 or 600 par. That's how much the conditions changed. Talk about rain tomorrow at the old course.
And they're also talking about a lot of wind for the rest of the 3 days.
Yeah, well, that's what changes the course. That's what changes that course. It's interesting. Somebody asked Tom Watson if the old course would ever become obsolete. And, you know, he gave an answer. The bottom line is never. That course is never going to be obsolete. You know what I like about the British Open? They don't get themselves married to par. You shoot what you shoot. And if it turns out you shoot four straight 7-under par 65s, and you finish at 28-under par, the course, it's, you know, they let Mother Nature take care of that. It's all good.
Have you ever played the Lynx course, Steve?
Yes, I have. I played Highland Lynx on Cape Cod many times. I probably have played that course maybe 15, 16 times in my life.
I absolutely love playing Lynx golf, and I only played it one time. I played it down at Myrtle Beach at John Daly's Wicked Stick. And, I mean, it is a long course, obviously, and they have, you know, your regular tees, and then they have what they call the Daly tees. The John Daly tees are another 30 yards back from the championship tees or the blue tees. Yeah. I did not bother playing those because I knew better. But I loved playing the wide-open course. You know, you don't have to worry about trees. You had rough that if you got into, it was challenging. But you know what I love the most about Lynx courses, and this one in particular? The bunkers. I was in a greenside bunker, Steve, that was so deep I couldn't see the top of the flag when I was in the bottom of it.
Yeah. The last time I played Lynx golf, I think it was last August. It's the last time I played pure Lynx golf.
Oh, and the beauty.
I love the course.
Yeah, the beauty of sand that deep or sand traps that deep is you can basically take a full swing and you're right next to the green. I actually put it about 3 feet away from the cup and I was ecstatic because that was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. And, well, the other part that's fun for me, too, is when I stand on the sixth tee box at that course, the Atlantic Ocean is crashing down below.
Oh, that's a great view, I bet.
And the Cape Cod light is behind the seventh hole, which is really neat. That's the lighthouse. So that's really, really neat. Let's see. I think we had some reaction on our Facebook page, I believe, to, let's see, yeah, Keith Mull commented, and Keith said, names, like no names on jerseys, tradition, we are Penn State. And so far that has been the universal feel. 800-795-9565. How do you feel about James Franklin's decision to return Penn State to its traditional uniforms that includes no names on the back? 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. I'd like to get your reaction as to, I think the reaction, I think people are surprised. I think people thought that he would just say, look, they're already there, don't change it. And I think people are surprised he did this. 800-795-9565 is the number. They're also handing out posters today in State College. Kevin has the poster up on our webpage and also on our Facebook page. So you can take a look at it, and at some point I'll see it. 800-795-9565. What?
It's actually a great poster. It says Unrivaled at the top, which is the hashtag that James Franklin's been using on Twitter. And then two players, one with a 20, one with a 15. And then it has the slogan, if you will, split up around the schedule at the bottom. Black shoes, basic blues, no names, all game. And then the schedule in between. But what I really like about this is it has the schedule, but also shows the logo of all the teams that they'll be playing, too. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, it adds some color to it, that's for sure. 800-795-9565 is the number. So how do you feel about, I think, what is to some people a surprise decision on his part to take the names off the jerseys and have it revert back to the way it was for 125 years. 800-795-9565. So it's one. This will be season 126 without them, and three seasons they had with them. And our number, 800-795-9565. Your opinion as to his decision to take the names. It's not going to be universal. There are going to be some people who are going to say, I got used to it. I got, you know, there'll be some people that will say when they watch on TV, for example, they were able to to identify players easier. I understand that. And that is, that's going to be another reaction of this as well. 800-795-9565 is our number, and Joe in Sealands Grove is next. Hi, Joe. Thank you for waiting.
No problem. I heard your discussion on the jerseys, and I, you know, maybe I'm a more traditional Penn State fan, but, you know, growing up as a football player at Sealands Grove, we always idolized the Penn State team and said, you know what, there's no I in team, and we don't need to have your name on the back of the jersey. It's not about you. It's about pitching in and helping out and having teamwork. So, you know, those are the ideals that we learned from our historic coach, Joe Paterno. And that's when I heard Joe Paterno speak as a young person, that's one of the things that he talked about. Is this one of the reasons we don't have names on our jerseys? It's teamwork. It's all about pitching in and helping out together. And I think that's why you'll see a positive reaction from most of your Penn State fans.
I'll never forget the speech that Joe gave at the White House in 1987. And Penn State was invited to the White House by President Reagan. And like, of course, teams that go to the White House, they always give the president a jersey. And everybody that gives the president a jersey, it always has the name on the back. You know, whether it's Clinton, Bush, Obama, whomever it happens to be. Well, when Joe presented Ronald Reagan with the jersey, he said, we'd like to give you a gift, Mr. President. He said, it's a Penn State jersey. He says, and you'll notice, he says, just plain jersey, our work clothes. And then he turns, he says, there's no name on the back. He flipped it around, and Reagan got a kick out of that. He says, because we're team players.
That's right.
And Reagan loved it. So.
Well, and Steve, not to talk politics, but if Reagan loved it, all the more reason to think it's a great idea.
Okay, Joe. Appreciate that. Thanks, Joe. Anything else?
Nope. Have a great day.
You too, Joe. Thanks. 800-795-9565. How do you feel about James Franklin's decision to take the names off the jerseys?
You know, you had mentioned about some people being surprised, maybe being surprised that the names are coming back off the jerseys. You know what? For some reason, it didn't really surprise me. And I don't know James Franklin nearly as well as you do or personally at all. But what I have noticed is he understands tradition and respects tradition. He also knows that sometimes you have to change and evolve. And I think this is one of those things that he felt didn't need to evolve or change. He may have changed the way the teams come up to the stadium because of one, for one reason or another. But this is something he, in my opinion, I think he looked back and said, you know what, this doesn't have to evolve. And I respect that because he knows how much tradition is at Penn State, but he also knows that, you know, sometimes you do have to change things.
Well, I mean, the walk up to the stadium, as I pointed out to him, and then he picked up on and talked about the rest of the year. I said, look, it's just an you're just expanding how long the walk is. I said, you know, it's the same tradition, just a longer walk. He goes, yeah, you're right. I said, that's all it is. So instead of pulling up right behind the tunnel area, they just pull up at the corner. And I think what makes that successful is that he has talked about it's the expansion of an old tradition. But I also think the fans love to have contact with the players. Because it's a longer walk for them, more fans can have contact with them as they make their move to the stadium. And I think that's one of the reasons why that's so successful. Yeah. I've never seen it.
No, I wouldn't imagine you did. But, you know, such a thing as change for the sake of change, and that doesn't exist in this case.
Well, we're on the air. I mean, that's why, I mean, you know, I don't see it because we can't.
It is physically impossible for you to be able to see it and still be on the air at the same time.
Right. Yeah, I've never seen it. Unless they decide to position us there, I'm not going to be able to see it. But I mean, like, there's all sorts of things. I mean, little traditions that, you know, guarding the lion on homecoming. The way the blue band does the pregame with the floating lion. The majorette making the flip before the game. And the fans love that. And, you know, the way they line up to get them out of the tunnel to enter the field. I mean, fans love all of that stuff. And, you know, that's part of the tradition, the pregame tradition of what happens at the game. Now, I mean, you know, I mean, I have my favorite tradition, and that's scoring. So it's, you know.
Personally, for me, it's winning, but scoring relates to that. Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, I like to, you know, like to call a lot of touchdowns. That's kind of like the tradition I'm into. So, you know, which is fun.
And I wonder when do you go as a coach or, you know, as a university or any organization for that matter that's deep in tradition and say, okay, this is great and we'd love to continue to do this, but now it's time to create a new tradition. I mean, that's the hardest thing I would think for anybody to decide. When do you drop something that's considered a tradition to start a new tradition?
I think people have tried to start certain new traditions and they just don't take. I think there's just something about tried and true that people love and expect. I mentioned the Blue Band. The Blue Band has done that same routine since 1966. I think 1965. 1965, they've done the exact same routine for pregame, right? And, you know, so you're talking about something that is now going, that's lasted 50 years. And fans love that. They don't want them changing with a new tradition. What he did with the walk to the stadium is just actually taking the old tradition, same old blue buses, and just expanding how long they walk. And I think that works because I think the fans absolutely love to have contact with the players. They just enjoy it, enjoy being around them, seeing them. And before the game, that provides many more people the chance to have contact, to see them walk up curtain and then make that right turn and go into the stadium. So that's why that works. It's taking an old tradition that people loved and just expanding on it. That's why that works. Other things along the way, I think they had tailgate. I don't think they do that in the Jordan Center anymore.
No, they don't, and I have to admit I miss that even.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I mean, I never saw that. I never saw that, but that was, again, same thing. I mean, I think a lot of people love when it was cold going in there, but that's, you know. I think that was that a cost-cutting thing? I guess it was. Had to be. And so they don't do that anymore. But I never saw that either because, again, you know, we're on the air at the same time.
See, Steve, a Penn State game to me is, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that go to Penn State games and feel this way, but a Penn State game to me is an event. Yes, it's a football game, but, and you and I joke sure about this all the time, but there's stuff that surrounds it to make it a little bit more. When you go up for a Penn State game, if it's, you know, a 3:30 kickoff, you're going to go up there about 9 o'clock in the morning. Not because you just, because there's so much stuff you can do. Tailgating, hanging out with friends, going to the bookstore, going out to grab some ice cream around lunchtime, coming back and tailgating again. And then if it's an early game, I can't tell you how many people, and you know this because you leave the stadium eventually, how many people are still in the parking lot when it's even dark out. It's an event.
Oh, sure. No, but tailgate, yeah, no questions. It's an event. You mean people don't get to the stadium for a 3:30 game a quarter after one?
No, only the play-by-play guy does that. Actually, it's quarter after one's a little early for him even.
No, quarter after one would be right. We're on the air at 2 o'clock.
Oh, see, I was thinking quarter anyway. Of two, actually.
No. See, I have to record something a half hour before we go on. So I have to be there 45 minutes before we actually go on, because there is actually something a half hour before we go on that I have to record. So. But it drives you nuts I don't get there until I play.
Oh, that would. Well, but you know, the other thing is, you have people, you have guys that are already setting things up for you. I mean, Tarman's there. He's there at like, what, 6 in the morning for a 2 o'clock airtime?
Roger actually gets there about 2 in
the morning. I was going to say, then you have Roger Corey, who I know gets there early.
No, Roger's the one that absolutely wants to get there early. Jeff's like, well, you know, we can wait till whatever. And Roger, no. Roger's the more nervous of the two.
I can okay. relate to Roger. I really can.
There isn't anybody that does what I do that, you know, they don't set their own stuff up. So, you know, there's a lot to think of as you're doing this thing. So, and, well, hopefully one of them isn't worrying about whether the equipment works or not. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Obviously, I'm well aware of the traditions of Penn State and what they do, because obviously I've been asked to be a part of some of them along the way. But actually, during game day, I don't really see much of any of it. I don't care where we go. Even, for example, we go to Ohio State. I don't sit there and, like, watch them do script Ohio. We're a little busy. I'll look down and see, oh, yeah, okay. They're doing it. Because you're trying to take care of certain things. I mean, there's certain elements. For example, they'll hand you a card. You got to take care of this. Hand you a card. You got to take care of that. So you do what you're supposed to. You take care of it. I sort of see some of this stuff out of the corner of my eye. And when it comes, you know, and of course with the blue band at home, it's easy because it's the same thing they've done for years. I can see out of the corner of my eye and get kind of the full effect of watching it for 32 years. And I think what they do is very, very special, and I think they do a great job of setting the tone and the atmosphere for the game. And I think that's what traditions do. They set the tone and the atmosphere for the game. And tailgating may be part of yours. The Blue Band may be a part of yours. Seeing the Rock at Beaver Stadium may be part of yours. Going to the Creamery may be part of yours. There's just so many great things, and like I think Kevin accurately said, Penn State football is not just a game, it's an event.
I miss tailgating.
Okay, then.
No, that's the one part of the whole thing that I miss the most about doing. I love doing games, but I do miss the tailgate.
Okay.
Okay, I missed the food.